good to see you all this morning. As was mentioned, our sanctuary is a little bit less full today because our youth are getting ready, youth and parents are getting ready for the fundraiser. I think there are a few more tickets left, and so if you'd like to join us for the fundraiser, we hope that you'll come and be with us. We're eating salmon, pokey, some ahi pokey, chicken, and salad. And so it's a nice meal if you'd like to come and join. And it is a way for us to continue to articulate our support of our youth. As you saw up there today, both Aiden is going to be in his third year of junior high camp, and Justine's going to go this year for the first time to junior high camp. And so wanting to continue to support our youth and make sure that they're able to go to camp. Camp is a life-transforming experience. All three of us, Reverend Dion, Reverend Jeannie, and myself, all have been influenced by camping ministries. And it was a part of all of our calls into ministry. And so we hope that you will continue to support our youth, if not today, in other ways that we can find to support our youth. We are on the third week of our sermon series called Last Words. I'm coming down to the last few weeks of my time here with you. It's hard for me to even say that. It's hard to imagine that after all of this time, we're coming to the last few Sundays. And in so many ways, there are lots of sentimental moments, and I'm appreciative of all of the ways that I've been able to connect with you folks. But I know, too, as well, that when I think about last words, I think my intent was to try to wrap up my whole time with you in a few words and in a way help to give you a sense of inspiration as you look to the future of the church, knowing that when I leave, this church will continue to grow and continue to flourish, and know that you will continue to be guided by God as God leads you into a new day. On this particular Sunday, the words that I've chosen are the words, change is, change is. So I'm going to ask you for a moment to close your eyes. I'm not going to come and sneak up on you, but close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to think about a change in your life. In silence for a moment, think about a change that you chose yourself and what that change looked like and felt like for you. Now think of a change that came to you that was chosen for you. It wasn't something that you chose on your own, but life circumstances carved out a pathway that brought change into your life. All of us in our lives have experienced change. We've gone through life transitions. We've experienced life circumstances that have basically forced change upon us. Change is a part of life. And in so many ways, changes, they do have different responses of us, different things that we feel about them, different ways to think about them. And so I put some words up here, and so those words are going to come up to you as you think a little bit about change. As you look at those words, how do those words speak to you as you thought about changes that you went through in your life where you made a specific choice and that choice led you into a new place? Oh, go back one, sorry. Go back to all of those words, sorry, David. Or when you think about the a change that was basically by life circumstances chosen for you, and which words kind of align with that in your life? All of us would acknowledge that change is a difficult thing. We know in our own lives we will go through those places where we will make choices, and sometimes choices made for us, that lead us from one place to another, that move us out from where we are and take us out into the great unknown. Sometimes the difficulty is leaving that behind which is comfortable and is a place of peace and a place where we feel connected and feel at home. but finding that we are called into sometimes the great unknown. And sometimes the thing about change that's so difficult is to walk into that great unknown, to know that sometimes even when we have chosen that change, that it is still an unknown. There is still much before us as we walk that path, recognizing that it isn't a foregone conclusion what it will actually look like. And realize in the midst of all of that, change shapes us into new people. Life circumstances make us into new beings. We find ourselves going into experiences that in lots of ways challenge us. And so we walk into those challenges knowing that we are going to be shaped anew, that God is working in the midst of those changes and shaping us in a way that will help us to become new beings in our lives. And our hope inside of that change is that we will find in that new space a way for us to experience meaning and joy and fulfillment in our lives. But sometimes it takes time. It's not always plainly evident when we walk into the change that we will find that. Sometimes it does take time for us to experience that. And knowing even when we have chosen those changes, that sense of grief and loss that happens to us from the land that we leave behind. So as you were thinking about that, what was it that came to your mind? Maybe it was something that you chose that was joyful and exciting, marriage or the birth of children. But maybe it was that you thought about other kinds of life circumstances where you experienced death or struggle or adversity, where you experienced maybe an injustice or somebody doing something that caused you to feel a sense of brokenness in your life. Maybe it is that you thought about the life transitions that we go through as we're aging in our lives and realize that those kinds of transitions and changes, they are not easy as well. Even as we still feel a sense of meaning and purpose in our lives when we go through changes that happen in our aging with our health concerns and with the changing circumstances in our lives, that we experience a sense of loss, even in that, when we're seeking to continue to live a life of fulfillment. Change is not easy, but like the old saying goes, change is life, and life is change. But how do we manage that? How do we deal with that? How do we struggle through it? And the reality coming to us that we know that change will be a constant in our lives, and yet recognizing that change is never easy. Even when we've chosen to make those kinds of changes in our lives, it's not easy. How do we find a way to manage that? How do we walk through that? And how do we continue to feel like God is a part of those changes that we are experiencing in our lives? And when we talk about change in just that way, it changes in its dynamic. When we think about God as being a participant in those changes, when we feel like we are making the kinds of changes that God desires for us, so that we might come to experience a dream or fulfillment in our lives. When we come to that place where we recognize that not only are those dreams intended for our own selves, but realizing too that when God seeks to speak into the changes of our lives, that God does so not just for us, but for all of those that we come in contact with, for our family and for our friends, for our church, for our neighborhood, for our community. That we realize change is not just something that happens for us and to us, but something that happens through us in the ways that we affect the lives of those around us. In the story from Genesis this morning, Abram has come to the place in his life where he and his wife Sarai are hoping for offspring. They continue to pray to God that God would bless them with children. But this is not happening for them. They're 75 years old. They've been waiting for a long time, and yet they have no children. And at one moment, Abram comes to believe and comes to see that God desires to fulfill that promise inside of his life. But as he speaks into his life this possibility, what he comes to realize is that the dream he has is not just for himself, but it's for all of God's people. As he prays to God, God says, I desire to bless you with offspring. And Abraham's overjoyed with the idea that he would have children. But God tells him, I give you this offspring not just for yourself, but because you and Sarai are going to be a father and mother to generations. And it is in those generations that I will come to speak a truth about the reign of God in the world, that I will establish my kingdom through you and through your offspring. And through those offsprings will come the fulfillment that I have promised to my people, Israel. And Abram is at once overjoyed, but actually kind of chuckling and laughing about it all, because he didn't see that part of the change or that part of the dream. He just wanted to have children. But at 75 years of age, God says, I will fulfill this dream for you, but you must leave your homeland and go to the land unknown that is before you, to the land that I have chosen for you. And in that land, you will be fruitful and multiply. Now, I go back to this and think about it a lot. Sometimes we get caught up in these biblical numbers and we say, well, 75, that's not too bad. You know, people live to 150, 160 years old in the Bible, so 75 is like middle age. But in many ways, imagine that kind of dream being given to you at 75 years of age, saying, leave your home and all that you have known, and you will find that I will fulfill the promise for you in the change that will happen as you leave your homeland and come into the land that I have promised. For Abram, he was overjoyed but laughing about it all, because he could not even begin to imagine that God would work in such a way, and that God desired to do something for him that was even greater than his own dream, and that was if he would walk into that unknown, if he'd walk the road that led through change, what he would come to see is that he would be the bearer of an offspring that would be the people of God for the world. And in this people would be this fulfillment. And so Abram sees in that moment that he's a connecting link between the promises of God and its fulfillment in his generations. But that is only going to happen if he's willing to accept the change that God desires to make known in his life. It's hard for us to imagine that kind of change in our lives, isn't it? We talk about change, we think about change, and we think to ourselves, it's something that we just choose for ourselves. It's something that is sometimes chosen for us, but we don't always see God in the midst of those changes. But when we do see God in the midst of those changes, it makes things much more complex, because then we start to ask ourselves the question, what is it that God desires to do in me and through me in these changes? What is it that those changes will be about that will be not just for me, but for my children and for my community and for my church and for this world? Realizing that it is in that change that God will do a great and miraculous thing. It's hard for us to imagine that kind of change in our lives. And yet that is what I think the scripture reading is pointing us to in our lives, is sometimes we don't see that in the moment that change occurs. But when we look back on it, we realize that God had been in the dreams that we had for ourselves and for our families. God was in that dream by providing resources that gave us the ability to fulfill that dream. God was with us in the perseverance that came from internal strength so that I could walk that difficult road through change. That God was with me in my church that reminded me that I was not alone in that change. That in the midst of that kind of change, we experience the challenge of what it is to follow God where God calls us in this life. But for we, the people of God, we place our hopes in the promise of Abram. And that is, when change is before us, we come to believe that God is working within them in those changes in a way that would enable us to find a sense of fulfillment, and that we would find a sense of purpose and meaning in that change, not just for ourselves, but for all of God's creation. And so for we, the people of God, and we, the people of Blaine Memorial United Methodist Church, the one thing that I really want to encourage us about is for us not to be afraid of change. In truth, when we look at our lives, look back on our lives, there were many changes that we went through where we experienced doubt and fear. We knew that we were going to walk a hard road, and we wondered if we were going to make it. And yet somehow God found a way inside of that change and inside of that dream that enabled us to continue to press on to find that sense of fulfillment. Sometimes not in one day, sometimes not in 5 days, sometimes not in 5 years. Sometimes it takes a long and slow journey. But that God finds a way to bring fulfillment in the midst of those changes, even those that were not chosen by us, but chosen for us. When we've experienced adversity and struggle, when we've experienced death in our lives, we know that sometimes those kinds of changes, they create in us great anger and great feelings of loss. But even there, God speaks into that change and says, I'm with you. And that wherever you will go, my desire is to work within the changes that are happening in your lives to bring you to a place of fulfillment and joy and meaning and purpose, and that you would come to see that even as you persevere through the changes that you are going through, you do so not just for yourself, but also for your family and for your community and for your church and for this world. And so as we look to the future as a church, what we recognize is that we as a church have experienced great change in our 115 years of history. That as you look at the cover, I put some pictures on the cover of the worship bulletin that reminds us of some of the changes that we have gone through as a congregation. The building of the Lee Activity Center, the building of this sanctuary after we left from 14th and Washington. One of the pictures in there is a picture of Reverend Wes Yamaka, and I raised that with Sharon. And I asked Sharon to talk about Reverend Wes. I'm hoping that we'll be able to do it at some point. It's that small picture with the pastors on it. Reverend Wes was a progressive and a social activist. And if you want to know why Sharon is who she is, you just have to say, that must be who Reverend Wes was, because he was the one who inspired her in this social justice. Reverend Wes was somebody who spoke about Vietnam at a time when our churches did not want to hear that word. He was a man who brought change to the congregation by the word that he preached and by the way that he ministered. As you look at the pictures that are on the cover, it reminds us of the kinds of changes that happened here in the church with the Tuesday ladies and with folks in our congregation who helped to lead us into the future. We have had many, many changes in our 115 years of history. Some of them have been chosen by us. We sit in a sanctuary that was a choice. We sit in the Lee Activity Center that was a choice that was made by the congregation. What we recognize is that we also have gone through changes that we did not choose ourselves, but that were chosen for us. And yet, even still, God was faithful inside of all of those changes, and that God continued to allow this congregation to dream great dreams so that we might be who we are today. And so for all of us, my prayer is that we not be afraid of change, that we not find ourselves recoiling from change because we don't know what the great unknown will mean for us. But my hope instead is that we would say, we've done this before. We have been through the kinds of monumental changes that should have closed the doors to this church many, many times. And yet we are still here. And we recognize that we are still here because of the faithfulness of people like you and of those who have come before us, who have laid the foundation upon which we are standing today. That we would not be here if change had not come to this congregation in many, many ways. Now, it's true that that road is never easy. It's true that there will be times where we will find ourselves in conflict over those kinds of changes. But my prayer is that we will look to the future and recognize that change, it's inevitable. And the question for us is, will we recoil from that change and say to ourselves that we are going to do everything in our power to put that off as long as possible? Or will we instead say, God is working inside of us in those changes to enable us as a church to be all that God has created us to be? My prayer is that we would look at and feel that sense that somehow God is working inside of the call that we feel to continue to grow as a church, to continue to be the church that God has created us to be. And if we continue to do that, it's going to mean that we will change. But if we can navigate through those changes, if we can pray for God's guidance and leading, if we can, like Abram, come to know that that promise is not just for us, but it's for people 115 years from now who will be sitting in this sanctuary, who will say to themselves, there was a people a long time ago who navigated change and made it possible for us to be a church even now. That's what we say about the 115 years that have come before, and that is what we hope that others will say about us in the future, that we were able to navigate the kinds of changes that enabled our church to continue to grow and to flourish and to be fruitful, and know that that is for us God's call upon us in our lives. We in the United Methodist Church are going through a monumental change, and that is as the United Methodist Church continues to struggle over the issue of inclusion of LGBTQ persons. There are many ways that in our sanctuaries we talk about it this way, but in lots of ways there is much going on in our church, many conversations that are taking place where folks are trying to gather around the idea that change is coming. This last week, there was a group of United Methodists that gathered in Minneapolis, Minnesota, called UM Forward. And UM Forward was a gathering especially of people of color, of LGBTQ persons, and of young people. And it was a way for us to say that while we are legislating in the general conference, many of the people who are in the room, they're the same people. They're the old people and those who have been a part of our church for generations. We need to hear new voices. We need to hear voices from the margins of people whose voices have been silenced in our church. And so we are going to gather together to bring those voices into the center and say, what's the change that you see in our church? Now, in many ways, the discussions, they are just beginning at that level. And yet there is an energy that is coming around the idea that change is before us. There's another group that's gathering in Kansas City, in Leawood, Kansas, and that's at Adam Hamilton's church, Church of the Resurrection. That gathering looks a little bit more like how we see the Methodist Church. And yet that group is gathering as well with the understanding that change is before us. What will be the content of that change, we don't know. But we know that we cannot go back to where we have been. And as I talk to people about the changes that are before us, I hear the same kinds of things that I'm describing to you now. And looking at those words, recognizing that that is exactly where we are as United Methodist Church. That any change that is before us, it's going to be complicated. It's going to be disorienting. It's going to be unsettling in so many ways. But what I hear sometimes in that conversation is fear. And that fear is of change. And there are voices that say, let's just go back to the way it was. But I feel like we are at a place where the line has been drawn. And we as a church now have a choice to make. But my prayer is that we will not recoil from change, but walk faithfully into that change. And recognize that who the Methodist Church will be in the future is not what it will be now today. And yet the question for us is, will we be a part of that change? I hope in your prayers, I hope in your words, I hope in your actions, I hope in your activity that you will enable Blaine Memorial to be a part of the change that is before us so that we will come to live in a way that is what God has called us to do and to be as a church. And that is to be a church of radical love, a church of radical inclusion that says all are welcome here, a church that says we remember what it was like to be excluded as a church. In our history, we know what that looks like. And we will not perpetuate that exclusion by excluding voices that are not now being heard in our church. The voices of young people, the voices of people of color, the voices of LGBTQ persons. And know that we need them in the center of our dialogue to help us to be the church that we have been created to be. And so, people of God, people of Blaine Memorial, remember our past and know that as we look to where we have been, we know that God has been a part of all of the changes that we have gone through. We may not have felt it at the time, and yet we stand here as a beacon of that hope, that God has been a part of all of the changes that we have gone through, and God has enabled us to make it through the hard road that has led us to this place. But as we look to the future, we recognize that there is still much road before us before we reach that fulfillment that God has desired to make known in our church. And my prayer is that we will, like Abram, say, we are ready for change. And we are willing to go wherever that change will lead us, so that we might be the church that God has created us to be. And so my prayer for all of us this day is that we would embrace that change and give thanks to God for the call that God has placed upon our lives. And as we move through that call and see that God is bringing a sense of fulfillment and hope in the midst of all of the changes that we are going through, that we might find as a church that we are continuing to extend the legacy of this congregation and know that that is the gift that God is working through us and in us, but not just in us, but also through us for the generations that will follow us. And so, people of God, let us give thanks for change and give thanks for this life and all of the ways that God continues to move inside of the changes that are before us as a church. Let's join together for a word of prayer. Let me, God, we come before you thankful for this church's history, for it reminds us, oh God, that as we embrace the stories that have made us who we are, that we have come to see most clearly that the changes that are happening in our church are changes that we have gone through before. We know, oh God, that as you have called us to this, it is a place that might cause great fear in us. It makes us worry about our future. It makes us wonder how it is that we will be able to achieve that which you've called us to do and to be. And yet, oh God, you remind us in the story of Abram that you are with us and that you are calling us into this change, that you ask for us to take the leap of faith, to leave that which is comfortable and that which we have come to know throughout our history, and see that you have called us to a new place. You've called us to a new homeland. You've called us to be your church, a church of radical hospitality and love, a church of inclusion for all people. And we pray, oh God, that you would enable us to live into that dream. And we pray, oh God, that you would give us all of the resources that would enable us to walk that hard road, to continue to dream, to continue to believe, and to know that as we continue to pray for your wisdom and your guidance, that you will guide our steps and lead us to the promise of a new day, not just for us, but for all creation and for the United Methodist Church. We give thanks to you, O God, for this call. We give thanks to you for these gifts, and we thank you, O God, for the ways that you continue to work inside of us to give us the strength and the courage and the wisdom to press on, knowing that as we do, you will bring about a fulfillment that will be a blessing to us and to the world. We pray these things, O God, to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.